sometimes controversial, always politically incorrect, and pro-life without exception, without compromise, and without apology. It's the Pro-Life America Podcast with your hosts, Sarah Waits, and the president of Life Dynamics, Mark Crutcher.
Welcome to the show. I'm Mark Crutcher, president of Life Dynamics, and as usual, lurking on the other side of the table is my co-host, the lovely Sarah Waits.
Thank you so much for finally adding a compliment there.
Right. As you lurk.
As I lurk. I lovely lurk.
Also lurking at the table. Lord help us.
Sheila is really lurking.
Is my daughter, Sheila.
Man, y'all make it sound like some kind of like cousin it or something, just kind of creeping along.
Cousin it.
Well, you did kind of come into the meeting and say, what are y'all discussing on the podcast? And then suggest that you be on it. So that doesn't sound like lurking.
I think it was
a
little bit more than a suggestion. It was more like an insinuation or an insistence, more like it. But yeah. Anyway.
I have a lot to say. So.
We're happy to have.
Keep in mind, this show is of a limited time. we right. can't just go on for hours.
Yeah, you can't drone on for hours, Sheila, like you want to do. You have that habit. Well, as we all know, our attention, and rightly so, has been focused on what's going on in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
For the last few days, and we've got this guy that's president. And I'll never say he was elected president, but he is president.
I have never said his name with president the title.
I never did that with Obama or Clinton. No. But anyway, he's there. He's in the office. He was sworn in. And he doesn't make any bones about the fact he's willing to just lie through his teeth. He's lying about everything that's happened over there. The gall of him just last night, or just a couple of days ago, saying that this retreat from Afghanistan was an amazing success story.
First off, if that's your definition of success, that says two things. One, you have a really low bar for success. And two, I'd hate to see what your definition of a failure looks like.
Well, you know, it's like a doctor. There's the old joke about the doctor said, well, the operation was a complete success, but the patient died. Well, how was it a complete success if the patient died? Well, the same thing is true here. And by the way, this was not anything short of just a surrender. We surrendered.
Yeah. We effectively surrendered to terrorists.
Right. That's what we did.
We did.
Now we're negotiating with them. Mm-hmm. The Biden administration is admitting that they're going to send money to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the stupidity of some of the things that have gone on here, providing them with a list of the names and locations of the Americans that were still there and the Afghanis that helped us.
This is reminiscent of Biden's giving a list to Putin of all the infrastructure things he didn't want to attack. Really? You think that's a good idea?
That's a good plan.
Well, this was not only a disaster, but this was treason against American citizens, because we abandoned American citizens in a hostile territory.
They weren't the first ones out. They were the last ones. They were like, well, if you can get to the airport, we'll let you come out.
Well, at one point they were saying, it's too dangerous to try to get to the airport, but you need to come to the airport and let it, so we'll get you out. But we can't guarantee your safety as you get there. This whole thing is a disaster, and they're trying to put a happy face on it.
Yeah.
Now we have American hostages, and not even to mention the women and the children who live in Afghanistan. They were just left in the dust, and then our allies were left in the dust.
You know, and I remember quite clearly the Bidenistas talking about how back before the election, he needs to be elected so that we can reclaim our position in the world and we won't be the laughing stock because we got this buffoon president, Donald Trump, and that Biden would bring dignity and grace back to the office of the presidency. Right now, our enemies are laughing at us.
And our allies don't feel like they can trust us or rely on us.
They can't. Why wouldn't they feel that way? They can't rely on us. You know, I think there was one instance that happened during this thing that really illustrates how outrageous this situation was. There was an AP reporter, an American AP reporter, that was caught outside the airbase and couldn't get in.
Yeah.
An American. We refused to go get him. The British took it upon themselves to go get him, and they brought him in safely.
The UK is saying right now, the last I read, that they have really no idea how many at this point have been left behind, how many Americans or friendlies who have been left behind.
And the American government doesn't have any idea.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch of them.
And then also for people who don't care about human beings, like pro-choicers and stuff, listen to this. Biden administration told the military to leave the service dogs behind.
Right.
They left them in their crates to starve to death. But listen to this. They're probably not going to starve to death. They're probably going to be tortured to death by the Taliban, because in Islam, dogs are considered dirty. And so Taliban uses dogs for shooting practice, right, and to torture them. And so if people being left behind doesn't make the pro-choicers angry, think about the dogs at least.
There was an article that came out in USA Today yesterday, and this is just what the article is saying. The headline reads, Pentagon criticizes viral reports that U.S. left service dogs in Afghanistan. And they say that they denied that any dogs that they had worked with the U.S. military were left behind. And it says, to correct erroneous reports, the U.S. military did not leave any dogs in cages at Hamad Karzai International Airport, to include the reported, quote, military working dogs. And basically what they were saying is an animal welfare group had been trying to evacuate animals that belonged to American citizens and other ones that were in the country, and they were never under the military's care. This was those dogs. That's what they're saying anyways.
Yeah, nobody believes that.
You can't believe anything that's coming out of the United States government right now. You're a fool if you believe anything these people are saying. And, you know, this deal about these dogs, I saw an American soldier that was being evacuated.
Yeah.
One of the last ones out. And he was totally distraught. He had a dog that he had adopted over there and was friendly with and loved this dog. And he was on the verge of tears. This was an American soldier in combat gear, was in verge of tears. He said, because I know what's going to happen. He said, they use these dogs for target practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and because they believe animals like dogs and cats are unclean.
Right. The whole thing is outrageous, what's going on over there. And for us to think now that we can actually determine how many Americans are left behind, or how many friendlies are left behind, and what's happening to those people? I mean, it's preposterous to think that we'll ever know the true story.
Well, not only are we retreating from the area, but we left, was it $85 billion?
Something like that. Some people say it's more than that.
Guns, vehicles, military gear, Black Hawk helicopters. We basically armed the Taliban.
The Taliban
is
now.
The U.S. taxpayers gave them, at their expense, all this equipment. And if you think there's not going to be ramifications from this, you're dreaming.
You're nuts.
We have
not only for the area, but for the world.
We have a country that is 100% a terrorist state that is now heavily armed with the United States military technology and armor
at their disposal.
And they've been parading around in our military uniforms. They've been flying Black Hawk helicopters already. Don't think that the United States is safe because we've left. We are in danger now.
This is going to have implications.
It's not that we left is not the problem. Well, it's how we left.
Exactly.
And this is going to have implications for our allies and other countries who are close by. And there is, surprisingly enough, there was something that was actually well said from, brace yourself, a CNN political analyst. I couldn't believe it. But the CNN political analyst, Josh Rogan, says, quote, the void is being filled by a number of actors, including terrorist groups such as Al-Qaeda, the Haqqani group, including China and Russia, including Iran and Turkey. And all of that has implications, not just for what happens inside of Afghanistan, but what happens in the region and around the world as well. We know from past history that for jihadists, victories equals recruitment. We know that when they have a country, that country becomes a safe haven for attacks in other places in the world. And we know that Afghanistan is still a place where empires go to secure minerals and strategic advantage. So the game in Afghanistan is afoot.
Now China's going to swoop in. They've been waiting on the sidelines, wringing their hands. Now they're going to swoop in and either become allies with them or take advantage of the situation and take over.
Well, didn't we, for a reason, have to deal with Russia in the Middle East? I feel like this is deja vu all over again.
I heard somebody say the other day, and I don't know if there's any reality to this, but when the Russians were in Afghanistan, when they pulled out, 2 years later, the Soviet Union collapsed. Now, I'm not saying that they shouldn't have gotten out.
Yeah.
I'm saying that this was a complete debacle in the way it was done. And Trump had a good plan. And I'm sick of hearing these Bidenistas try to defend what the U.S. government has done under Biden. by saying, well, this was already set in place by Trump. Well, so was the Keystone Pipeline.
The border wall.
If he felt obliged to continue on with Trump's policies and Trump's initiatives, why didn't he continue with those? The fact is that the minute he took over, if he didn't think getting out of Afghanistan was the right thing to do, mm-hmm. he could have stopped it right then. So yeah. he owns this. Yeah. Whether he admits it or not, he owns it.
Well, they dissolved Trump's plan. There was a plan set in place. The Biden administration said, no, we're not doing that plan. And this is what happened.
And according to the reports that have come out, the advisors to Biden said, no, this is not the way we need to do it.
Well, I want to say people who are saying that Biden's a buffoon, that he shouldn't be, you know, leading the country. I want to say this. I don't believe that he is leading the country, and a lot of other people don't either.
I don't either.
I mean, this is a good example. Whenever he does a press conference or, you know, mm-hmm. does one of his speeches off of note cards or the teleprompter, he always says stuff like, they told me, or they gave me a list.
I'm not supposed to answer questions, or I'm only supposed to take questions from these people.
Who is they? He looks like he's on a short leash. Who is they? Who is behind the scenes pulling the strings? It's not Biden, because
he's incoherent half the time.
So it's not Biden that's pulling the string. He's merely a puppet.
I don't know. I feel like this decision in Afghanistan kind of smells like Biden's decision.
Well, no, it's the people that rules him. It's the people that oversees him. It's the people that tells him what to do.
We talked about this on a few shows back, if you remember, Sarah,
mm-hmm. yeah.
where I made the point, and I still believe this, that whoever the powers that be are mm-hmm. that stole this election, they're running things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they don't even have to necessarily be Americans. They could be mm-hmm. anybody.
A lot of people think it's the Chinese right now.
Right.
Well, I will say that there is a surprising and stunning amount of power given to his PR team. It seems like they have a lot of control over the speeches and stuff that they make, what he says.
To go back to what Sheila said, I mean, the other day he was at the end of a speech or whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it, and he's getting ready to do his little turnaround and walk out, right? Mm-hmm. And he says, I've been instructed not to take any questions. Mm-hmm. Well, wait a minute. You're the president of the United States.
Yeah.
Who is it that's instructing you not to take questions from the media?
It doesn't give you a lot of faith when you have a president who's saying, oh, I can't do this because I've been told not to.
We're in a dire situation. There's no doubt about that. And as you all know, David, the guy that I ride motorcycles with, mm-hmm. He and I were talking just a couple of days ago. I said, David, when we were 15 or 16 or in high school, could you have imagined if somebody had told you, described what America is like today and what's going on, and could you have believed it? And he said, no, we would have thought, you're nuts. That'll never happen here.
Yeah.
And here we are. And the question is, how much worse is it going to get? And I want to go back to something that we've talked about in the past. The pro-aborts will always try to defend abortion or the legalization of abortion by saying, look, you can't legislate morality. You guys are trying to legislate morality and you can't do that. Well, the fact is we legislate morality every day.
Yeah.
Every law that we pass is somebody's idea of right and wrong.
Yeah.
So we legislate morality every day. But my argument has always been that every decision that we make mm-hmm. as political leaders, every decision a political leader makes has some moral component to it. If you spend money that you don't have mm-hmm. and can't repay, that's not only a financial decision, that's a moral decision.
The descendants, your children, their grandchildren are going to be suffering from.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about people that aren't going to be born for 100 years are going to be paying for what the Biden administration's financially doing today. Mm-hmm. And that's not just a financial decision, that's a moral decision.
Well, let me point out, does it really surprise anybody what's happening? They are unapologetically for the killing and slaughtering of innocent children. They have no qualms about it. They are open for it. So if they can't stand on moral ground on that, does it surprise anyone with what is happening now?
It shouldn't surprise. And that's the point I'm getting at, is that when you spend money you can't pay back or don't have, mm-hmm. that's a moral decision. When you send people into war, mm-hmm. that's not just a military decision. That has to be a moral decision as well.
And based on what's happened, there's been at least 13 servicemen who have died mm-hmm. in amongst all this.
That's just the beginning.
Yeah.
But here's the point I'm trying to make here. when you elect people who say basically what Sheila was saying, that you can butcher these unborn children by the millions and I'm okay with it, we'll even take money out of your paycheck to pay for it, then what you've got is people who have no moral compass whatsoever.
And have no respect for life. It doesn't matter if it's the unborn. That applies across the board to anybody. If you don't value life over here, you can't all of a sudden value life over there. But you either value life or you don't.
This situation in Afghanistan has already had a lot of moral decisions that have to be made.
Yeah.
And it'll have more moral decisions that have to be made in the future. And we've got people in the White House who are pro-choice on abortion, which means they have no capacity to make a good moral decision. Why would we now expect them to make one in Afghanistan when all of a sudden the people being killed are not unborn, but they're born? Yeah. You know, it's preposterous to think that's going to happen.
I want to point something out. On Facebook, shared one of our images and saying, does it surprise anyone, you know, with what's happening right now with the Biden administration, considering where they stand on the unborn? And this one person, everybody else agreed, but this one person deflected and said, basically, what you said is inaccurate, or you can't say that, blah, blah, blah. All government officials, you know, basically are bad. What about Trump? He didn't stand for the unborn. And basically just apologizing for Biden. This person probably voted for Biden.
Probably.
They basically just apologizing.
And, well, they're not defending Biden. They're defending themselves.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And the problem here, again, as it always is, I said this back during the Clinton administration, the problem was not Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. The problem was the millions of people who voted for Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. We've always had moral degenerates run for public office. That's not new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, exactly.
And there was a time, if someone was a known moral degenerate, we did not put them in office. Mm-hmm. Now we look at that and say, well, yeah, we're not electing him to be pope or a preacher. We're electing him to be president, and that's a totally secular argument. The minute we go down that trail, we're done. We're screwed.
And you can expect politicians to do their song and dance and kind of skirt issues and say one thing while doing another. However, if you're making a comparison between, say, Donald Trump and Joe Biden, the Biden administration has made it very clear from the beginning where they stand. Mm-hmm. Their decisions towards abortion has always been in favor of not the unborn, but the abortion industry. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you really say the same thing for Donald Trump? Assume for a second that he was secretly pro-choice. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't believe his actions have proved that. But this was the same administration that was telling Planned Parenthood, the gravy train is over.
Right.
And there's a number of other things that they did. It's apples and oranges.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't even begin to make that comparison.
Right. And this person was just trying to make themselves feel better. Right.
No, I mean, you just have to look at the actions of the person. And there's a big difference between the actions of Donald Trump in that arena versus the Biden administration.
It's clear where the Biden administration stands.
Well, I mean, very simply, if you were an unborn child, would you rather have Donald Trump making decisions about your future, or would you rather have Joe Biden making them? That's the bottom line.
Nobody wants Biden making decisions about their future, period.
Anyway, we could sit here all day and talk about this, but this is a debacle. It's the first time in my life that I can think that if I were traveling somewhere and I were in a foreign country, it would be embarrassing to say that you're an American.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what Biden has done.
Boris Johnson and other leaders like in France and Germany during this whole thing, they were openly criticizing and ridiculing the Biden administration. And those are our allies.
And he comes out in the press conference while all this is going on and says, all the world's leaders are applauding what we're doing. And I've talked to them all. He's lying through his teeth.
He didn't talk to them. Right. He basically just went radio silence.
Let me tell you what the bottom line here is. In any military engagement like this, you ask anybody, you're trying to withdraw from an area, and you've got civilians there, non-combatants, and you've got the military.
Yeah.
The last one out the door is the military. Biden did it just the opposite. You could have given that scenario to a group of five-year-olds, and they could have said, well, no, you take out the civilians first, and then you take out the military. There's the old saying, the military is the last one out the door, and they're the one who switch off the light.
Yeah,
that's not what Biden did. Right now, I'm listening to Biden bragging about this being the word he used was an amazingly successful operation in Afghanistan. And you know, I'm the one who orchestrated this, basically. And I took over a bad situation from Trump, and he's blaming it on Trump, and he's blaming it on the Afghan fighters, and he's blaming it on the American people. So he's blaming it on everybody else.
But the emperor's no clothes, right?
Right. But now, basically, he's the guy, and some New York newspaper just made this point, he's the guy that now bragging about having put out a fire that he started.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's it in a nutshell.
Well, right? And he didn't even put out the fire either.
Oh, no, but he's acting like he did. Biden's a little sycophants in the media are out there tooting his horn.
Yeah.
And, you know, the headlines, just like in the Dallas Morning News, hardcore left newspaper in Dallas, the next morning was America's longest war finally over.
Yeah.
You know,
only just begun. As the CNN political analyst says, this is just the beginning.
Anybody who believes the Afghan war is over is a complete and utter moron. It's changed gears. It's switched battlefields. One of the big differences is, if you go back 20 years, we went into this thing 20 years ago to get rid of the terrorist.
Yep.
We're leaving Afghanistan 20 years later, having spent trillions of dollars and sacrificed
countless lives.
I mean, over 3,000, I think it's almost 3,000 American soldiers have died in that war. And we're leaving the terrorists now much better armed
than they ever were.
Than they ever were. Now they're one of the best equipped nations, quote unquote, in the world with American military equipment. And we're going to have, very quickly, if we haven't already gotten it, we're going to have Taliban soldiers wearing American uniforms, carrying American M16s, riding around in American armored vehicles, shooting Americans.
Yep.
That's the bottom line. That's what's going to happen. And I would love to have some pro-abort or some leftist call in, some Democrat call in. I'd argue with you about this. Don't tell me for a moment that you think that Donald Trump would have handled this in the same way that Joe Biden did, or would not have handled it better. It's preposterous. And I guarantee you, under Trump, the military would have been the last one out the door. That's a guarantee. Anyway, like I said, we can sit here and go on and on with this all day, but that won't get us anywhere.
You know, it'll start to devolve into to mutters.
Right. We'll have to put a muzzle on Sheila.
We'll have to start bleeping stuff out.
Right. Anyway, that's all the time we have.
Yep. If you like the show, make sure you leave a review. We have a button in the description of our podcast where you can go leave a review or a rating. Also, be sure to follow the podcast on your favorite podcast platforms, such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and the list goes on.
And be sure to get all your friends to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for joining us, Sheila.
Mm-hmm.
It was always a pleasure
to have
you
around. It was interesting. Always interesting.
Y'all, the people in the audience have no idea what we're talking about.
I say it like it is. I'm a realist. I say it like it is.
Oh, is that what you are?
Yeah, I'm not afraid to tell the truth.
I see. Okay, well, thanks for joining us. Until next Thursday, remember, Life Dynamics is not here to put up a good fight.
Mm-mm, we're here to win.
Because winning is how the killing stops. See you next Thursday.
Bye, guys.